Somber hello out there to everyone in Clipper Nation.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming at you after the 10 a.m. loss of game six, 98-111. Your Clippers fall to the Denver Nuggets. In case you didn't know, we're Locked On Clippers. We're coming at you 5 days a week with Clippers news. If you're tuning in today for the first time to hear what we think about the Clippers loss, be prepared for some doom and gloom.
Yeah, welcome to the new listeners.
As always, it's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm trying my best to be positive, Chuck Locklear.
And we're joined by very special guest, Mr. Carl Hart.
The Undertaker.
Anyways, we're going to be recapping that game today. We're going to be kicking things off with what we didn't like. There are some issues, some kind of ongoing things that we've been discussing throughout this playoff run, throughout this season. So we're going to get into those. And then we're going to try to glean a few things that we did actually like from this game. Mostly some great offensive performances from Kawhi and Paul George. We're also going to talk about looking ahead, what we need to do to win this game seven and hopefully get out of this series. And then in Shadings, we're going to talk a little bit about, we touched on this last episode, but we're going to be talking a little bit more about the Trez contract and what that re-signing could look like in free agency, as well as Rockets' potential new head coach. So all that and more coming up right about.
Yes. So also, if you didn't know, this is a Rock Auto podcast. If you go to rockauto.com, tell them Locked On Clippers sent you in their little suggestion box. So the Clippers lost 98-111 to the Nuggets. How are we just, Carl, how are you feeling? You said you wanted to come on and vent. Just real quick, get it off your chest. We're in the what we didn't like segment. Let's start off with what we didn't like.
Well, here's what I didn't like. I didn't like the whole game. No, that's not true. I actually really enjoyed the first half.
Oh, it was great.
It was awesome. And then I really, really, really hated the second half. And it was, you know, I get frustrated. I know a lot of the listeners don't like that I don't watch the game, but this is why. I have to turn them off because it, and I was flipping back and forth between an NFL game that I didn't care about. Who was it? Minnesota and Green Bay. I don't care about either of those teams. Minnesota. But I couldn't watch, and it's like, why does this start to happen? It was almost like a mirror game of game five.
It was the exact same thing. We saw Trez too long. Like, it was deja vu.
And why is Doc doing this? Like, and it ain't just Doc. It, you know, okay, let's get one thing out from the beginning. Refereeing in the playoffs is horrible. And yeah. I just would love for our superstar. We have Kawhi Leonard, arguably the best player in the league, if not top three, you know. Why can't he get calls down the stretch? Like, why can't he? But that we can't blame that. We can't blame the loss on that. I'm not blaming the loss on that. Mm-hmm. I have been a fan of this team for a real long time. And during the Lob City years, it was awful. And these type of collapses were awful. But you just felt that this time it wasn't going to be like that.
Agreed.
And yes, it's turning into the exact same thing.
There's no fight.
There's no fight in the second half. And it's so frustrating to be a fan of this team. It's the most frustrating thing because it's like, how can we have a completely different group of guys do the exact same thing 5 years apart?
Not a totally completely different group. There's
who
one
was
there? There's one person who's been there the whole time.
Is Chris Kaman still hiding on our bench?
I'm saying Doc Rivers.
Oh, Doc Rivers. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys are even allowed to say this on this podcast. And no, this isn't a Clippers sponsored podcast.
Not even close.
Yeah. So I'm a former employee of the Clippers. Our show Overtime Live has been canceled.
Damn shame.
It's been me too'd. No, I'm just playing. But I can say this now because I couldn't say it on that show.
Yeah.
But if we don't make it out of this series, knock on all the wood that's still standing in California, he's got to go.
Couldn't agree more.
He's got to go.
So, yeah, I mean, on the Doc thing, like, yes, there's clearly issues there. I would be very surprised if, given just the situation surrounding this year, the team felt fully confident in making a decision like that, even though I'm with you and I think that it is something that should happen. But this game for me, while rotations didn't help, there was just a lot going on. Like I thought the offense that the Clippers displayed in that second half was truly awful. And that to me wasn't just a Doc thing. We only scored 35 points in this second half. And while you can put, while you can definitely put some of that on what the rotations were, some of it is just the ball not moving, guys settling for shots, guys hunting for contact and not getting it and putting up bad shots. And then a lot of times, like, I just feel like we're failing to make adjustments that Denver has made defensively. You know, we're still charging into the paint with three defenders in front of the rim, three big defenders at that. They've chased us off the line really effectively. We only attempted 27 threes in this entire game, which even in the playoffs would be the worst amount of attempts of any team as an average. So I don't know. Like, this one to me isn't solely on Doc. I don't really feel like the will to win this game, the will to pull this one out, was there.
Yeah, I mean, we missed so many. Like, Mook was 1-for-5. Zoo played good defensively, but was 1-for-6 offensively. We praise Zoo a lot. I mean, a lot of people do. And he looks better defensively against Jokic, but also if he's going 1-for-6, it's difficult. You know, he had 12 boards. Fantastic. We very much needed them. But the offense has to be there. Sham only got 3 attempts. Pat Bev only got 2 and also fouled out and doesn't necessarily look like he's ready for big minutes yet based on him fouling out and those 2 texts the other day. Like, he's still getting ramped up. Like, there's still so many things that are, like, getting worked on. Like, I feel like we're, like, building the race car right before the race is about to start, and we're still trying to find, like, these extra, like, extra fuel or something like that. And I just don't get how many times we have to watch this team do exactly what they did in game 5 and game 6. Like, what there, and like the rotations, there are some things that need to be changed. Like Doc said in the post game press, he didn't think either of the fives were very effective from a plus minus perspective, which makes absolutely no sense. Because if you look at the plus minuses, Zoo was plus 11 and Trez was minus 19. Like, I don't understand why this adjustment is, and it's like you said, it's not the biggest thing, but what has to happen for Trez to stop getting minutes against? Like what the hell truly has to happen?
Zoo just got to play harder, maybe. Like, I understand you saying it doesn't make any sense from a plus-minus standpoint, but when you watch Zubac play, like, when I just from a visual, just looking at it, it's like, man, this dude is getting his – he's getting his ass eaten out. Like, and not in the good way. Like, he's just getting still worked,
Jokic,
man. Like,
Jokic is going to work anybody. And it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just so – the Trez thing's been an issue all year. He's great offensively, but
– hasn't been, though, in the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs, it's just not there. Like, today he had 1 rebound, 4 shot attempts, 2 turnovers in 15 minutes. That's such a net negative. It's so bad. He can't find the open guy. He's the one who crashes into 3 defenders all the time. I just feel like a broken record. Like, this has been every game against elite bigs, this has been an issue.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't think, like, rebounding as from a team standpoint was really that effective. And that to me is effort-based. You know, we did beat them in steals. I think we finished as a team with 10 steals, and we were able to score a couple more points off turnovers than they were. I believe we gave up 14 points off turnovers to their 17, something like that. Like, but in these margins that are so slim, a rotation of just even a few minutes that's that much of a net negative is going to kill you. And it's not just the actual minutes on the floor, right? Like, that's definitely one aspect of it. But the other thing is, you give this team that already has come back from a 3-1 lead sort of momentum. And I think that's really clear to see on the court. You see the Nuggets building this momentum and playing this way. And I to me, that's like part of the thing that makes it just so difficult to watch. It's just the same thing that we've seen again and again. And I feel like, you know, we're trying the same thing and expecting a different result. And I don't truly think that's going to happen.
Yeah, man, I don't have, like, it's all season from every collapse that we've had this whole year. I think just too much pressure was put on us from the beginning, and we weren't like able to understand. I'm talking about from a fan standpoint, not from a But I think in those early episodes, I still was like, I'm not crowning us. I'm not crowning us.
It's too hard to crown this team.
Yeah, it was, and it was, and I was saying that from the beginning. I was very happy that we signed Kawhi and PG, and very happy with the team, but it just catapulted us into a position that we're just not used to being in.
Yeah.
Like, even with the Lob City teams, we still were like we were like, do we ever come out of the West at a one seed?
No.
Yeah, so, like, we were always, like, still, like, kind of middle of the road, like, kind of where, like kind of where Denver is now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Denver and Houston and OKC, like, we were always in that zone. And I honestly thought that's where we were going to be this year. That's what that was my prediction. I said we were going to finish in fourth. Mm-hmm. And we ended up finishing in second. And our defense is elite.
Can be elite.
It can be. And today was just like, what I saw out there was our experience and skill got us a 16-point lead in the first half. And resting on our laurels and playing against a young, hungry team who really wants this series, yeah, who really wants to go get swept by the Lakers. they just wanted it more, and they've wanted it more the past two games. And that sounds like a shot at them, and it kind of is, but I can't really take no real shot because they beat us twice in a row.
They firmly beat us. And part of it is us giving away, but you're right. They look – I mean, it's so crazy to see momentum swing in the bubble where there's no fans, and you watch it happen with the players on the court and the bench, and it's just so evident. It's just so clear who has it.
I hate Gary Harris. I hate his face. I don't like Michael Porter Jr.
No, I don't know. I don't think anyone outside of Denver does. Man, all right, coming up, we're going to be talking about the few things that we liked, which also is going to tie into some things we didn't like. But, hey, we got to give a shout-out to Roman. It's an erectile dysfunction medicine. If you came out limp like the Clippers did in this third quarter, check out Roman. With Roman, it's easy to talk about ED with a real healthcare professional who can provide real medicine. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you for free with that two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman, so you can tackle erectile dysfunction all you want. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. One more time, GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA.
Okay, so we're back with segment two of that loss to the Denver Nuggets, game six. And before we get into a couple of things we did like, I do just got to say up top, because we didn't quite touch on it in the last segment enough, but I do also give a lot of credit to the Denver Nuggets. Like, we talked about them. They are playing very hard. For offensively, sure. They've looked great. They've made incredible adjustments defensively, you know, chasing the Clippers off that three-point line, giving really aggressive doubles to Kawhi or Paul George, whoever has the ball, and doing a good job trying to mitigate that paint scoring that the Clippers were really able to exploit in that game one.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's been frustrating too, is that I think we're seeing another team make adjustments, right? And we're just sitting here while we don't, and it's just like awesome. but what we did like in this game was, I mean, Kawhi and Paul George continue to look good on the offensive end. Kawhi had 25, 8, and 5. PG had 33, 6, 5 steals. Like, we've wasted two fantastic performances from these guys. And I hate to kind of look at it in the giant picture, but that is not the showing you want in the first year that everyone's together with these guys. Like, we can't be doing this. Like, oh God, I know this is what we liked, but it was frustrating to watch these performances get wasted. But I'm happy they're happening.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, if you look back to that first half, really the first half of both of these last two games, you know, the things that we've done well are, you know, played with pace, really not allowed that Denver defense to get set. We've done a really good job creating offense off of our defense when we're playing hard, when we're creating those turnovers. It leads to much easier buckets. While Kawhi and Paul George have been able to, you know, stay consistent and play well offensively, we've been somewhat limited in what we thought we were going to get from this bench. However, what I did like in this game was, you know, Lou Williams and Jamichael Green both had some solid offensive play. Lou was 5 of 11. He had 14, 2-1, added 2 steals. Jamichael was also great in this one. He was 5 of 8 from the floor. He finished with 11, 2-2. So not to jump completely out of, you know, what we liked into what we needed to do for this next game, but I think it's pretty clear anytime Zoo isn't on the floor, we need to just be going with a 5-out sort of lineup and looking to capitalize on all those things, looking to capitalize on the pace, looking to generate turnovers, and we need the shooting on the floor. We need the space, especially if they're going to continue to really aggressively trap the ball handlers in this one, and we need more off ball movement, which we're just not seeing. There's too many times where we're like, and I realize that playoff offense, you know, gets different. It looks different, but too many times we're running into like almost rocket style isolations where we got 4 guys standing around and a ball handler doubled. And it's very difficult to make things happen in those types of scenarios.
Also, and this may just be a person with, listen, not only am I 31, so I haven't played competitive basketball in about 10 years. I played high school at a high level. I played college at a high level. We were always taught from the very beginning, when the shot goes up, you crash the boards.
Yep.
There are 4 Denver Nuggets on the defensive rebound. When we are missing, keep in mind, in that third quarter, in that fourth quarter, we couldn't hit a brick wall.
Not at all.
And nobody's rebounding. We got no, and it was like, it's like not even Zoo is down there. And if Zoo is down there, they just pushing him.
Yeah, he's not getting any calls. He's getting bodied, like pushed out of the paint every single time. Same thing happened in the Mavs series.
It's like he's 7 foot, 110 pounds.
he's like me if I was 7 feet tall and the same body. Kawhi said in his post-game presser that one of the things they can do better in game 7 is don't be lazy on defense. That's a direct quote from Kawhi, which I think is kind of like, that's his, you know, quote unquote, in your face as you're going to get from Kawhi, I think, in a post-game press answer, right?
I felt like our defensive...
It's very telling.
But did y'all not feel like the defensive intensity stayed good as long as it could? Like, Jokic hit a shot in PG's face. You know, PG in his bag when a player's dotting his eye.
Yeah.
But that's a shot that you can't defend.
For sure.
And PG's got a what, 7'1" wingspan?
Yeah.
And he did the best defense he could. Jokic hit that old man at LA Fitness wearing jeans and boots and a safety vest because he just got off work. And then you learn after the game is over, after he cooked, you'd be like, man, what's your history? I played 4 years at Iona and then went over to Italy.
You're like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's why you cooking in cat boots and a hard hat and a cigarette in your mouth. You're not allowed to smoke in here either. It's a public gymnasium. You're not allowed to smoke.
I think that we did see that defensive intensity at times. And like, you're absolutely right, Carl. Those shots where you're there to contest in time, you have a hand in the face and they happen to hit those shots. Hey man, you did the best you could. I think though, the combination of obviously those guys making some tough shots. And then I do think that there were some lapses, notably in certain lineups, on the floor that the combination of those two things, it's going to offset even those really, really good defensive efforts.
Yeah. And I agree with what you said, Lou, or Will, about the 5-out lineup. It's like Trez's minutes, he needs to be played maybe when we're only up by 20 plus. So really exacerbated, I guess. But it has to be 5-out. Like Jamichael's contributing every single game. He contributed in game 5. Every game he plays, he makes the case for more minutes. He was the third leading scorer on the team in the regular season. He's getting 7 minutes a game in the playoffs. Like, and this is, it's just not, now that we have to go to a game 7, we have to figure this shit out now. like it is now that this needs to be figured out. I've kind of been, I feel like I've been kind of lax in saying we have time, we have time, we have time. The runway's no longer here.
No.
Like it's gone.
We're at the end. We're at the end of the road.
We got to figure this shit out.
We are the underdog now. We wanted to be the underdog all year. Well, now we are. We're fighting for our lives now. And maybe this is our fault. Maybe this is our fault for having that mentality the whole year. It's our fault for having the this is you know metaphysical. But maybe maybe it's our fault for having the underdog mentality all year and not embracing the fact that we were a top three team in the NBA. And now that the Bucks have proven useless, top two. And we had this mentality all year, and now we're finally in this situation. And how are we going to come out? Because after the last loss, I didn't hit you up, Charles, because I was just like, you know what? There's no need to talk about it now. We'll get it in game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we didn't get it in game six. And now it's like, and fans, y'all get mad that I don't watch the games? Boy, you think I'm watching game seven? I'm throwing my TV out my window.
Right at tip off. You're gonna have tip off and hurl it right when we lose the tip.
I'm not watching that game at all, except for every time I turn to that channel and punch myself in the face. Because I'm just so upset. But also it's like, how upset can we be? And this is what I was talking to, because I'm in a group chat with a bunch of, you know, the people that Laker fans hate, mm-hmm. LA transplants who come to Los Angeles and begin rooting for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them.
Shout out to us.
Yeah, but a lot of them, but at least, so who were you a fan of before, Charles? You were a Sonics fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was in Montana. Yeah, it was Sonics, and then I just hated the OKC Thunder.
Yeah, so, like, you get a pass. Will, you didn't like basketball before you came here, right?
No, I was a Mellow Nuggets fan, which was also just, you know, disappointment upon disappointment.
Yeah, so... With those things being said, I'm in this chat, and my buddy, I'm not going to name him because everybody knows him, but
Will Smith.
All right, you had to say it. I told you I wasn't going to name him. But the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air who moved to Los Angeles, who moved to Bel-Air, people don't know that he became a Clippers fan. Actually, side note, there's an episode of the Fresh Prince where they had like this ghetto Santa who's wearing a full Clippers.
That's awesome.
But you guys got to go back and find that. But they're all like, I think I'm done. This is frustrating me. And also on top of that, these guys are Boston fans.
You can't leave.
These guys are Boston fans. And so they are leaving the Clippers at this point to go root for their team who is now in the Eastern Conference
Finals. Must be nice. You know, some of us, this is all we got over yeah. here.
God, for me, this is all I got. Yeah. I can't root for LeBron no more.
Yeah.
He went to the enemy.
That is very true.
All he had to do was go to the Sacramento Kings. And I would also be like, all right, man, well, Kings, go Kings in the finals.
Oh, man, if only. Let us know your thoughts at Locked On Clips about how this game went. Coming up, we're going to be just quick talking. Rockets are targeting Lou and trying to get hyped as we can for game 7 on Tuesday. But first, Will, talk to me about nutrition and how I can find it.
The best way to find nutrition is in Built Bar. The Hell new yeah. Built Bar is improved and even more delicious than before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors. The bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code locked on. That's all caps, one word, for $10 off at builtbar.com. One more time, promo code locked on for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Okay, so we are back with shavings. We talked about last week, Carl re-signing Trez. After these playoffs, do you think Trez is going to be worth maybe what he's going to be wanting in free agency, or do you think we should cut ties?
Not after these playoffs, not after he's won that award, saying, like, I love Trez, but he has not shown up this series. This series, he's not shown up.
That is
he
fair.
Did he have one, like, 14-point game? Has that been his best game?
I think it was, yeah, something like that. It was, like, that third game he was back. He looked a little more energetic and ramped up in that one. But, I mean, Yeah, since then, it's like, if we can't play him in the playoffs, what's the point of paying him 17 plus million a year, which is what I'm assuming he's going to, you know, be offered from other teams, right?
Yeah, let him go get that shit in Charlotte. Let him go, like, I love him, and I'd love for him to stay, and I'm sure, like, Lou don't want him to leave and things like that, but I'm past panic mode. I'm just mad. Because honestly, man, like, straight up, like, I've been a fan of this team for a long. Of course, I want us to win the championship, but I don't want another second round out.
No, God, no. Not like this. Not with this team.
Bro, if we went to the Western Conference Finals and got swept, it would be embarrassing because we got to deal with Laker fans.
Yeah.
But we went to a Western Conference Finals.
Yeah. At least we made it to the Western Conference Final. Yeah.
How bleak is that? That's all I want out of my team. It's just the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah. Just to go to the dance before the real dance.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So how can we, like, this is kind of, you know, existential too. How can we try and get our minds right for game 7, Tuesday at 6 p.m.?
Watch football all day today. Have sex.
Stay off Twitter.
Please
stay off Twitter.
Stay off Twitter. Beat your meats. Clap some cheeks.
You're going, yeah, I like how you're going. You're feeding the id, I believe it is.
Get your cheeks clapped if that's what you're into. I ain't no discrimination over here.
No. This is locked on. Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want.
But game 7, like, what does Doc even say to the guy? Like, I'm so nervous for Tuesday. Like, I'm dreading Tuesday. I'm going to watch the full game. But I'm terrified. Will, what's your fun check at? Let's do a real quick Updike fun check.
Oh, it's non-existent. I'm not having fun watching this team. These last two games have been pretty abysmal. And I don't want to get too negative because, you know, I am still a fan of the team. They clearly have the talent on the floor, and we've seen the execution that, you know, they should be able to get out of a game 7, you know, with relative ease, to be honest. Like, if we're playing at the level that we know that we're capable of and executing at that high level. But yeah, I am not having fun watching this team. No. I got to be honest.
It's not fun at all. It's not fun. I've been a fan of the team for a long time. It was a sense of pride for me, even though it wasn't much to be prideful for.
For sure.
It felt good to be, you know, I did it in defiance when I first got here. I've told the story.
You're a rebel.
A million times. I was like, I'm going to root for this team because it's going to be so sweet the one day that they win. And to still not have that at this point, but I'm too deep in now, man.
You're a lifer.
I'm a lifer. I like the Pelicans. I'm not going to go for Pelicans because I still live in Los Angeles. So it's too hard to not rep being for here. Sure. If I move to New Orleans tomorrow, I can't lie and say I wouldn't go for Pelicans. I can't, like, I would just be like, you know what? I don't have to think about that team anymore. Like, put that torture relationship behind
walking
me and enter
up,
into
walking
another
up those
torture
stairs room. Into 2021, leaving all that Clipper shit behind. And then real quick, last thing, Ty Lue is going to be heavily targeted by the Rockets. I don't want Ty Lue to go anywhere other than the Pacers or the Thunder because I want him to be in a good environment. I don't want him to have to coach the Rockets or the 76ers. That seems horrible.
Yeah, neither team is, like, from a roster standpoint, really set up to win. I got to be honest, too, and this is super selfish. I'm going to miss having him on the bench. We just need other people that can get Doc's ear.
To tell Doc what to do.
Yeah. Oh, and the Rockets are targeting Sam Cassell, not Ty Lue.
Sorry, Sam Cassell. That's my bad. Yeah, man, I don't know. Let's hope something good happens. Carl, anything you would like to end on real quick?
Look, man, after as bleak as I've talked this whole time, I still love the team. I'm still very proud of the team. I'm still happy to have something to represent. I still got way too many T-shirts, jerseys, hats, shorts, warm-up shirts, socks, red and white and blue Air Force Ones. I'm a root for the team forever. And I think we can pull it off. Noah Eagle likes to mention the 2008 Celtics, also coached by Doc Rivers, who went to 7, I believe, in the first round and the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And they still pulled out a championship. And
it's doable.
I think now that it, win or go home situation, I believe in these guys. I'm going to keep believing in them. Don't get too sad, y'all. The world is bleak right now. Just go outside.
Kawhi's been here before, too.
Kawhi's been here before. Kawhi was in the 7-round game last year at this same time against a better team. And so let's everybody go outside, take one big deep breath, pass out, and wake up on Tuesday.
Oh, that's a great note to end it on.
That's elite advice. Tuesday's episode, we're going to have a preview of that Game 7. And, oh, man, is this going to be a tense day. Twitter Tuesday, so send us your questions. Maybe those will come after the game, depending on what the hell happens. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, all those fantastic places. Will, should they leave a review if they check it out?
Yeah, leave a rating or review. We'd love it. Subscribe if you haven't already. Yeah, check us out.
Check us out. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
We've been joined by the illustrious.
Me, the Undertaker. But I'm about to write us on the dead on Tuesday.
and I, of course, am William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate you.